This session is a part of Spiritual Leadership Conference 2011, hosted by Dr. Paul Chappell in the Lancaster Baptist Church. This lesson is entitled Creating an Annual Music Ministry Planner with John Guy. John Guy is a graduate of West Coast Baptist College and now serves full-time in the music ministry at Lancaster Baptist Church.
Corinthians 14, just one verse I'd like to begin with here. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 40 says, "Let all things be done decently and in order." Let all things be done decently and in order. This verse really is a great description of any ministry in the church, whether it's a soul winning department or a children's ministry or music ministry or bus ministry, that all things should be done decently and in order. And it's our desire and our heart that the music ministry would follow that same principle, and that we would be planned and organized and disciplined in areas so that we can better serve God's people, but also better allow God's people to serve. And especially in the music ministry, when you think of a choir and the folks that serve with you in your music ministry, what you do in the planning stages is equipping them and allowing them to better serve the Lord with their abilities. And it also allows them to better enjoy the experience of serving God and when we are planned out and organized. I'm sure we've all experienced things that have not been done decently and in order, and it can certainly be frustrating. It can also at times even be discouraging when you're trying to get something done, but things aren't in the proper place. And so we would strive to have excellence in our music planning. Planning really is what makes the difference. When I think of music ministry, I really think of two sides of the same coin. One side would be people. Music ministry is all about people. If it's a choir, if it's an orchestra, if it's a group, you're really pastoring the people. And I was telling my wife the other day, I said, you know, really the quote-unquote success of the music ministry is entirely dependent on everybody else. You know, if your choir doesn't show up, you're not going to have a good choir on Sunday morning. If your ensemble doesn't come to a sound check or a practice, or if they're not ready and prepared, I mean, you can be the best song leader and the best singer yourself, but you just can't do it all when it comes to music ministry. And so much of music ministry is people. It's relationships. It's pastoring the people. It's leading the people. It's encouraging the people. But then the other side of that coin would be planning. Planning. And that's really what we're going to talk about today, the office work. How do we better serve God's people? How do we better prepare for this coming Sunday? How do we better prepare for that missions conference or the Christmas program, whatever the case might be? Creating an annual music ministry planner. Well, what is a planner? Every fall, Pastor Chappell sits down with the members of the leadership team, and he asks for each of us to put together a planner for our areas of responsibility. Whether it's the soul winning department, or the teens, or the college, the media, the print work, the graphics, the Christian school, the finances, the campus development, whoever is overseeing all of the different areas and aspects of the ministry will put together a planner. And this planner is certainly something that takes time to do. There's no doubt about it. You've got to put time into it. The first planner that I put together probably took anywhere from 30 to 40 hours just to get all the details into the planner, to try to wrap my mind around an entire year of music ministry and try to put it all together. The years following that, it didn't take quite as much time because music ministry is somewhat predictable, meaning Christmas comes every year. And so there are certain aspects of music ministry that you can just plan on every year. And so it was really just a matter after that of going back in and maybe 30 to 40 hours became 8 to 10 hours, and just rethinking through and making sure that dates were up to date and that the things that were time activated were proper. Ladies, you can come in, and yeah, we got some seats in here. But what we'll do then is every December we'll sit down as a leadership team and we will each share our planner. And you know, it's always a time of rejoicing as we sit back and Brother Furster stands up and he's always the first one who goes. As Pastor said the other night, soul winning is the tip of the spear around here. And he shares with us all those who've been saved and how many have been baptized and classes that have been added, and just the outreach and the missionaries that we're able to support. And each man will get up and share his planner. And it's just a great time of rejoicing for all of us. But it's also a great time of vision casting as we look forward to the upcoming year and the goals and the vision for all the different areas of the ministry, and just to see how things will develop. Today I want to specifically look at creating a music ministry planner. So that just kind of gives you an idea what a planner is, but let's specifically talk about creating one of these for your music ministry. Well, number one, what is a planner? Did that work? There we go. What is a planner? Letter A, it's a roadmap for the next year. Where are we going as a music ministry? What are some of the goals that we have? What would we like to accomplish? When you lead a music ministry, if you lead with no direction, it takes a long time to get anywhere. It takes a long time to see things accomplished. You end up with poor results, or maybe even the wrong results, or no results at all. It's easy to get frustrated. It's easy for those who serve on your team to become frustrated as well. If you lead with no direction, it's easy to waste time and energy and resources. But when you lead with direction, and when you lead with planning, so much more can be accomplished. You can stay focused on the most important things. You can tackle big projects. And let me say this, for you as a music director or a music coordinator, there's a lot less pressure and stress on you. When you've planned out an upcoming year, it takes a lot off your mind. I don't know about you, but I've woken up in the middle of the night with thoughts on my mind, stuff that's got to be done, something that I didn't take care of that needs to be done for this weekend. You know, I want to keep as little up here as possible. I want to put it on paper. I want to put it into an electronic system. I want to put it into something where I know it's going to be tomorrow morning when I go into the office. I don't want to have to think about it all up here, because as stuff bounces around up here, it disappears sometimes and I forget about it. So a planner is going to give me peace of mind. It's going to help me to feel like I can really focus on the most important things in the music ministry and I can stay on track. Letter B, music, what is a planner? It is also the details for the upcoming year. You have some goals, but now how are you going to achieve those goals? It's one thing to have a big picture in mind. It's one thing to say, boy, we'd like to grow as a music ministry this year. But how are you going to do it? What are the details that are going to allow you to do that? Think about maybe a big project that takes place on your music calendar, maybe something like Christmas or something like Easter. You can't just put a big event on the calendar and hope that it comes together. You've got to ask yourself several questions. I just kind of listed out a few of them here. When are you going to start looking for this year's program? Here's a good question. Have you thought about Christmas yet this year? Have you been looking yet? Have you been thinking? What kind of a program? A musical? A cantata? Will we have narrations? Have you sorted through some songs and some music yet? When are you going to start actually doing that? When will you order the music? I encourage you, don't wait till December 1st to order your music for Christmas, okay? But when are you going to actually start ordering it? When will you have a planning meeting? When will you determine your cast and your crew, or who your narrator will be, or who some of the different folks involved will be? When will you create a rehearsal schedule? When will you create a rehearsal CD for your choir? When will you have a kickoff meeting and invite everybody to that kickoff meeting and give out a schedule and give out a practice CD and kind of cast a vision as you go into your Christmas season? When are you going to print the posters and the tickets that you're going to use in your community to help invite folks to it and to help spread the word about the program? When will you order any costumes you need? When are you going to do lighting cues? And the list goes on and on. What are all the details that go into an event like this? We can't just walk in on the weekend of and hope that we have a great musical presentation. So what a planner does is it allows you to sit down and to think through those details and then to time activate those details. So right now, as I think out over the next 3 to 6 months, there are some big things that I know are coming. And if I don't have some sort of a planner or something that's written down on a paper somewhere, something that's in a time-activated system, I'm going to have any number of those thousands of thoughts running through my mind at any given time, because I need to do this, and I need to do this, and I need to do this. And then what happens is I lose focus on Sunday, and I can get distracted from what I need to be doing now. But if I know that on August 1st, I'm going to have something pop up that says I need to determine who my cast and crew is going to be for the Christmas musical in December, then I can stay focused on what I'm doing now. And so a planner is really the details for that upcoming year. All of those goals, all of those events, all of those projects that you have planned. Number two, as we move along here, what does a planner accomplish? What does a planner accomplish? Well, letter A, it gives me a big picture. Gives me the big picture for the upcoming year and what I'd like to accomplish. In one document, you have all of your big rocks listed along with the tasks that are needed to get those things done. It just gives you a big picture, and I'm a big picture kind of a guy. I like to see the big picture and then break it down into small parts. So for me, it helps me just to see, okay, this is all that I need to accomplish in the upcoming year, and here are the big events and the big days and the goals that I have, and now I can break those down into smaller pieces. But it gives me a big picture. Letter B, it saves time. As I mentioned, it's going to take you some time to sit down and do your planner, but the amount of time that it's going to save you far supersedes the amount of time that it's going to take for you to actually put it together. The amount of time that it's going to save you. David Allen, in his book Getting Things Done, talks about having a system that he calls an inbox where you can dump all of your thoughts, again, so that you don't have those thoughts just floating around in your mind. And you may have a few different systems that you would call your inbox. You may have a calendar where you put meetings and specific items, maybe on a date or whatever. If you've got a big day coming, you might put those on a calendar. You may have some sort of a paper-based or an electronic system for tasks and things of that nature that would help to remind you of upcoming things that need to be done. But what you want to do is you want to have an inbox where you can put all of your thoughts so that they don't linger in your mind, and so that you know that they're going to be there when you need them. It's going to save you time. Letter C, it's going to help you to accomplish your goals. Nothing's more frustrating than getting to the end of a year and realizing you didn't accomplish the goals that you set out with at the beginning of the year. And what a planner does is it helps you to think through a year and say, okay, here are some of the goals, and this is what I'd like to accomplish by the spring, and this is what I'd like to accomplish by the fall. And then it helps you to time activate some of those things, and it allows you to get a lot more accomplished in a coming year. It helps you to accomplish those goals. Letter D, it gives flexibility. Gives flexibility. The more organized you are, the more flexible, the more freedom you can have. I'll talk about this in a moment, but one of the things that I do when I put together a planner is I plan out the music schedule for the next 12 months, a month at a glance. But what that does is when you have music that's planned out in detail for at least 4 to 6 weeks, and you've got your soloist who calls you up and says, I can't sing this Sunday, I lost my voice, your planning and your preparation, because you've been communicating with the soloist for the next 2 or 3 weeks, and they've been practicing for several weeks, you can call somebody up and say, hey, do you mind switching and singing this week? And instead of calling somebody up and saying, hey, I need you to sing, can you learn this song by tomorrow? nobody likes to be in that situation, and as a leader, you don't like to put people in that situation. But planning will give you some of that flexibility. Well, let's talk specifically now, number three, about the contents of a planner. The contents of a planner. And I actually brought in two of these planners here, and I'll have these up front if you'd like to see these afterwards. One of these is from 2009, one of these is from 2011. But if you'd like to actually go through and just kind of leaf through some of the different sections and see some examples there, you're welcome to do that. But I'd like to actually go through the different sections that I have in my planner that just kind of help take me through this process and help me plan for the upcoming year. Letter A is the vision. The vision. Why does your music ministry exist? In the planners that I have here, I actually wrote out what my vision would be for our music ministry. The music ministry of Lancaster Baptist Church exists to exalt the name of Jesus Christ, encourage the heart of our pastor to preach, and prepare the hearts of the people to hear from the Lord. Music is a great gift from God, and we desire it to be used for His glory. There are three areas that I outline here under my vision: preparation, communication, and presentation. Preparation, obviously, is a lot of the planning. The preparation for a service starts long before the Monday before, but there's a process of preparation as we look forward to several weeks out in the upcoming services. Communication This is a huge part of music ministry, is just communicating with your folks and keeping people informed. And if there's been a change, making sure that they know what that change is and that people are just well informed. And then presentation. Having a strong presentation will only really follow good preparation and good communication. But having just a good platform presentation that honors the Lord and just making sure that the details of that presentation are correct. So that's just a little bit of the vision of the planner. The next section is goals. He who aims at nothing hits it every time. If we don't have goals, if we don't have something that we're shooting for, then we won't see as much accomplished in our music ministries. What would you like to see accomplished through your music ministry in the next year? Goals should be concrete. They should be measurable. They should be calendarized. Concrete means that you don't want to be vague. You want to be realistic, but at the same time, you want to stretch yourself. You want to see your music ministry grow. You want to see greater things accomplished in the coming year than maybe what you saw in the previous year. They should be concrete. Don't just say, I want to have a better music ministry. That's not a real concrete goal. Put some specific goals down. They should be measurable. Don't just say, I want the choir to learn more songs. Say, I want the choir to learn 8 new songs this year. And then you could actually list them. You may actually take 5 or 6 of them and list them right there in your planner. These are some songs that the Lord has put on my heart, and I'd like to see the choir learn these. And no doubt you'll find some throughout the year, others that you'll want to learn. But put some measurable goals into that planner. And then they should be calendarized. This is the time activation process, and we'll take a look at some of this later. But goals that are not time activated are just dreams. It's just wishful thinking. If I just say, boy, we'd love to do this. We'd love to see these songs learned by our choir. If I don't actually time activate to have those ordered and to have those practiced and to have those sung, it's just wishful thinking. It may not ever end up happening. A few areas of goals that I list out in my planner. I put personal goals, maybe areas where I'd like to see myself grow personally as the music director, maybe books that I'll read or tools that I'll use. Some general goals, maybe just it might be a conference that we'll be hosting or a deadline that I'd like to try to reach or meet each month. They might be choir goals. It may have to do with some songs that we'll learn or some number of folks that I'd like to see added to the choir in the coming year. Different group goals. Maybe it's we want to start a new ensemble this year. And maybe want to put together some newer quartets and trios. And I'll just think through some different areas where I'd like to put out some goals for the upcoming year and plan accordingly. The next section is the review section, the next section of the planner. And this is always an encouraging section because I'll take this section and I'll look back on the previous year. And I'll list down areas where we did reach some goals and where we were able to see the Lord do some amazing things. And it's always an exciting time, not only for me to sit down toward the end of a year and go through some records and some repertoires and some calendars and see what all we accomplished in that year, but it's also encouraging for the other men in the room who will hear the planner. And it's also encouraging for me when I hear their planner and the review from their areas of responsibility for the past year. I'll list out the songs that were learned, maybe by the choir and ensembles and groups and soloists, projects that were completed, goals that were reached, special guests or special services, special music presentations, big events, and just try to think back on the past year and what all the Lord allowed us to do. Reviewing past victories is an exercise that really we see over and over again in the Bible. And I believe that it's important because it reminds us of what God has done, but it also strengthens our faith to believe that He can do it again and to believe that He can even do greater things in the coming years. And so this review section is always an encouraging time, but it's also a challenging time. Just to give you an idea, here are a few items of review from the year 2010 that are listed out in last year's planner. Our music ministry as a whole, choir, ensembles, groups, soloists, we learned 111 new songs. The songs that were not previously in their repertoire, songs that they had to get together and practice and put together as a group, whether it was a choir or a group or soloists, 111 new songs that were learned in 2010. 97 choir members were added to the choir. That doesn't include college students. We like to allow a few college students, but 97 choir members. Now, they didn't all stay. As you've probably experienced in your own choir, some of them tried out for a week and say, this isn't for me. But 97 folks who came to a choir orientation, and in one way or another, I met with them personally and went through worker standards and got to know their testimony and made sure that the choir ministry was something that was appropriate for them. 11 orchestra members that were added in the year 2010. A few of those were high school students. We allow the high school students in the summer after their ninth grade year to join either the choir or the orchestra. And we've had a growing high school orchestra program, and so we've enjoyed seeing many of them get involved in the choir as well as the orchestra. We hosted a two-day music seminar, conducted two outreach musicals, Christmas and Easter, hosted a music ministry training luncheon for all of the choir, the orchestra, the ensembles, the soloists, presented three programs for the Spiritual Leadership Conference in 2010. So just a couple of things that I'll notate and try to review the past year and see what God has done. The next section, letter D, are the special services. Special services. Under this tab, what I like to do is I like to go through a calendar year and I like to notate every service in a given year where the music ministry is involved. I've listed several of them here. Revival Sunday, Friend Day, our Soul Winning Kickoff, Celebration Sunday, Palm Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, Public Safety Officers Appreciation Day, Mother's Day, God and Country Sunday, Father's Day, Christian Music Sunday, Roundup Sunday, Open House Sunday, Harvest Sunday, Missions Conference, Thanksgiving, and of course our Christmas season. And I'll just go through and I'll list down every Sunday in a given year where the music ministry is involved in some extra way. And it kind of gives me a year at a glance so that I can be thinking in terms of those big days. The next section, letter E, would be projects. Projects. What are some of the big rocks you'd like to see accomplished this year? And this is specifically for your music ministry. Some years we do a lot, some years we don't do as much. One year we replaced all of our wired mics with wireless mics. That was a music ministry budgeted item. And we went into that year and planned for that. We've replaced monitors in the past. We've replaced the choir loft and put chairs up in the choir loft and different projects that might be related. For you, maybe it's an organizational project. Maybe you want to get that music library put together or organized. Maybe you want to put together a database of everything that's in your music library. Maybe it's weekly projects or reoccurring projects. Let me encourage you with this thought. Always be looking for ways to build your music ministry. That's going to encourage your choir. That's going to encourage your music ministry members. If you are trying to improve, trying to build, trying to sharpen, trying to grow in areas of excellence, don't be satisfied with just maintaining and just saying, well, these are our five Christmas cantatas and we'll just kind of rotate them every 5 years. For a choir member, that can get old after a while. And, you know, I may not want to come to choir practice if we're not learning any new songs. That's just the way it is a lot of times in music ministry, that the lifeblood of music ministry is new and fresh and encouraging music. But always be looking for ways to build and to grow your music ministry and to improve. The next section, which is really the most important section, would be the calendar. Really, everything up to this, I've just kind of been trying to think. I've been thinking just in terms of big picture and what special days and what projects and what events. But now I want to actually take a section and go through everything that I've already put into my planner and go through a list of tasks that will lead up to the completion of a project and then put a date next to them. You understand there's a difference between a project and a task. A task is not having a Christmas musical. That's not a task. That's a project. Okay. There are a lot of details. There are a lot of tasks that go into that project. You may say, okay, I'd like to organize my music library. Well, that's a project. That's not a task. There are several things that might go into that project. You may have to go through and sort through your music and just organize the music by books and octavos. You may even want to go through and just clean out that closet where all the music is before you try to organize. You may have to even put together some shelves and think of how you're going to file. And there may be several different steps that go into actually organizing and completing that project of organizing your music library. So this calendar is really taking projects and goals and events and breaking them down into tasks and then putting dates next to those tasks. You may say, okay, well, we'd like to learn a new Easter musical or a new Easter cantata this coming spring. So you're going to say that to yourself in October when you're sitting down to work on your planner. Well, that means that you've got to time activate at some point, probably when you're focused on Christmas the most is when you'll start getting your Easter stuff and you have to shift gears in your mind a little bit. But somewhere around December and January, you've got to be thinking, okay, I need to be sorting for a new Easter musical or a new Easter cantata. So on the calendar there, you may want to do this great Easter event, but somewhere in December and January, you've got to have the task of start listening through some music, start listening through some new arrangements that are coming in and try to find some of those. And so the calendar is going to be breaking all of these items down. Underneath this, number one, in the calendar, we have projects. Again, these are the big things that you'd like to see accomplished. Number two, the annual events. In your music ministry, you may have musicals or cantatas, maybe a seminar that you host, maybe some sort of training for your choir or your music teams. You may have something like your Christmas decor and your Easter decor. Every year I have time activated to meet with the lady in our church who does our auditorium decor. And I'll meet with her and we'll talk through the Christmas decor. Really, we meet in the fall and we talk about Thanksgiving, we talk about Christmas since they kind of happen pretty close together. I'll try to get Pastor's heart on it and what he'd like to see accomplished, and I'll meet with her and we'll talk through what kind of flowers she wants to do or what kind of decorations she wants to do or when the trees are going to go up and who needs to help with what and where we're going to string lights and all different things like that. And that's time activated every year to meet with her. And if I don't have that, again, time activated in a system, I'm gonna come to the end of November and think, oh, I got to meet with her. And then I meet with her at the end of November, and all of a sudden, next week, we've got to put this crew together that can come in and decorate the auditorium and the campus and get ready for Christmas. And not only is that frustrating for me, but it's frustrating for her and the other volunteers that serve with her. And so all of these different areas I want to be thinking through in the calendar. The third item underneath the calendar is hosting. Maybe you'll have a special group that comes through to sing. Maybe you'll have a special seminar, and you might have a guest speaker come in for that and teach. And so you want to think through the hosting responsibilities that would be there. The fourth section underneath the calendar is reoccurring projects. A lot of things that take place in music ministry are really, they kind of take place on a weekly basis. A lot of reoccurring projects, just scheduling music and sorting music and writing your cue cards and having fellowships, tuning your pianos. There's something that should happen just about every 6 months or so. And you can just calendarize that, put it into a task system, and it's just going to pop up that you need to schedule to have the piano tuned. And that way you don't have to be reminded about a year into the calendar after you've had your piano tuned when it's that Sunday morning and that note's really bad out of tune. You can just have it calendarized, and it'll pop up so that you remember to do it. Maybe it's a choir newsletter. Bi-monthly, I'll send down a newsletter to our choir and just to kind of encourage them and tell them about some upcoming events. Notes of encouragement. This is something that I have as a reoccurring project. We've got several folks who volunteer, and they help file music, and they help photocopy orchestra music, and they help put piano binders together on Saturdays. And just about every 2 months, I want to make sure that I'm writing them a note and thanking them and maybe including a little gift card to our bookstore or something of that nature where I'm just encouraging the volunteers and trying to be a blessing to them. And again, those are just small things. And you can probably sit here and think in your own mind of probably 10 or 20 different things that would come to your mind that are just reoccurring things that if it's just somewhere in a system that's popping up in front of you, you don't have to keep it up here. You don't have to keep it on your mind, and you'll remember to do those things. So that would be the calendar. And again, this is probably the most important section of this planner, getting these details written out. What's most important is that you think through as much of your ministry as you can to try to capture everything that might take place in a coming year and then time activate it to get it done. One of the things that I do, and this I don't know that this is necessarily in the outline, but one of the really probably the most time-consuming thing in my music planner is what I mentioned before, and that's the music schedule for the upcoming year. And what I'll do is sometime around October, I'll sit down in my office, and really it takes several hours, so it's several different times of this where I'll try to schedule a chunk of 1 or 2 hours where I can work on this. And I'll have an Excel sheet, one sheet per month, and I'll just line all 12 of them up on my desk there. And I'll start going through and I'll start planning out for the upcoming year. I'll do this again this October, I'll plan out the year 2012. And what I'll put on that is I don't put every song that every group is going to sing. That would be nearly impossible. But what I'll do is I'll take out my choir repertoire, and I'll plan every choir song for the upcoming year, for that next year. And what it allows me to do is it allows me to space out those songs so that we don't sing the same song too many times. It allows me to get that planned out. I'll do the choir songs. I'll also schedule all of the groups. I don't schedule the specific songs for the groups, but I will schedule all of the ensembles. I'll schedule all of the quartets and trios. I'll schedule all of the offertories, at least who's going to do them. I'll schedule all of the soloists. And I'll sit down in October, November time frame, and I'll try to get all 12 of those months done. Every choir song scheduled, and every group scheduled. Now, you can imagine it's going to change. Hardly a month goes by where there's not some adjusting and some changing to that. But what it does is it gives me a template. It gives me a springboard for that upcoming year. And then what I'll do with that schedule is once I've got that year at a glance done, then about 3 months in advance, what I'm doing is I'm plugging in those specific ensemble songs and group songs and solo songs, and I'm sorting through music and I'm thinking of those different groups and trying to determine which song would be best for which group. And I'm starting to put some of the group songs onto the music schedule about two to three months in advance. And then on the 15th of each month, I'll send out the next month's music schedule and begin the communication process with them. We also use a program called Planning Center, Planning Center Online. And if you get a chance, you can go to their website, and they've got several tutorial videos. But that particular program is something that we've really incorporated into several areas of our ministry now. We use it for our live stream. We use it for our Korean ministry. We even use it for our nurseries and scheduling the ladies in the nursery. They use it, like I said, for the live stream. They schedule the different cameramen. But Planning Center Online is something where you can go in and you can actually put in your cue cards. You can schedule people for a cue card so that they can view it. It's all internet-based, so they can view it on their phone. They can view it on their computer. And then what I'll do is 2 to 3 weeks in advance, through Planning Center, I'm sending out a reminder to the different groups that they're singing, that they're scheduled to sing. And that'll come up as an email. They can set their preferences so that they get either a text message or a Facebook notification that they're scheduled for an upcoming service. And what it does is it brings up a box that says accept, decline, or view service. And most of the ensembles, if I've been communicating properly, and most of the groups, if I've been communicating, they just hit accept and, you know, we're good to go. But in the case that maybe somebody's out of town or not able to sing, they can hit decline. And what's great is that as you set up your planning center and as you set up the different preferences under your people and when you set up your people, you can actually schedule them as a soloist, or you can set them up as a member of a certain ensemble, so that if I scheduled someone, let's just say I scheduled Kay Husband to sing a solo on Sunday morning, and I shoot her an email 2 weeks ahead of time, and she declines, I get an email back that has all the rest of my soloists listed who are available to sing for that service. So then I can choose another soloist and I can schedule them in. So it's very user friendly, and it's been a lot of help for our music team, and the folks have enjoyed using it and just the interaction of it. Yes.
Where do you find this at?
Planning Center Online. You can go to Google and just Planning Center, or you can actually go up and type in Planning Center Online .com, and that'll pull up. Just the amount of things you can do with that, I don't think I could talk about it in an hour, but they have several tutorials that you can view. Your team members can actually go in and set up their block out dates, which would be their vacation dates, and I can go in and I can pull up a form that says, I can pull up my inspiration ensemble, and it pulls up all 14 people, and I can see what their vacation dates are. That's especially helpful in the summer months, as that's really the hardest time to schedule because of so many vacations. And I've already pulled up all of my ensembles, and I know which ensembles are gone in the month of August, and been able to plan accordingly depending on who's here. Yes. There is a fee. There is I believe it's a monthly fee, and the charge is it determines how many. I think it has to do with how many service templates you use, and then how many people are using the program. So they have different tiers that you can subscribe for.
Is there an exhibit of that set up down in the?
There's not.
They have something similar like that over there.
Do they?
Something. I was just looking at it yesterday.
Okay.
Yeah,
Planning Center is not a program that we've developed. It's a program that many different ministries are using, and again, it can be used on multiple levels. Our nursery department uses it to schedule nursery workers in the same way that they can send out an email. Someone can accept or decline, and so you can imagine all the different ways that it can be used. But our folks have really enjoyed using that program. So to kind of give you an idea, I'll schedule the entire year with our choir songs and which groups will sing. Then 2 to 3 months in advance, I'm plugging in some of those specific songs for the groups, the ensembles, the soloists. And then about a month to 5 weeks out, I'm emailing out the schedule, the monthly schedule. And then 2 to 3 weeks out, I'm again communicating with Planning Center and just trying to touch base one last time to make sure that everybody's on board and they know where to be and when they're singing and so forth. And the music ministry, so much of music ministry is planning. It's communicating. It's letting folks know what's going on and where to be and when, because you don't want to frustrate your volunteers. You want to plan as best as you can so that you can encourage them to continue serving. The last point, number four, is making it work. Making it work. This planner right here looks great on a shelf. But you can't just put a planner together and put it on a shelf after you've put it together sometime toward the end of the year and say, boy, that was a lot of fun. I'm glad I did that. You've got to make it work. You've got to take what's in this planner and you've got to put it to work. Let me just say under this letter A, start today. You may say, well, that sounds like a great idea. Put a planner together, put all my thoughts into one spot, and time activate some things, and put some dates on the calendar. I'll do that in January. Let me encourage you, go home from this conference and plan out the next 5 or 6 months. Plan between now and December, because you can probably think of a couple of big events that you have between now and December. You can probably think even of a project or two that you'd like to accomplish between now and December. You could probably think of a couple of songs you'd like your choir to sing between now and December. So start today. Start making this work. Plan out the next 6 months. And then again, toward the end of the year, do the same thing for the upcoming year and then plan out 2012. Letter B, you must time activate everything. You must time activate everything. Time activation is what's going to make this functional. If you are a paper kind of a person and you have some sort of maybe a Franklin Covey or some sort of a paper system, if that works for you, then use it. Time activate those items. I prefer an electronic system. It works a lot better with just the amount that I use my computer and how I can sync it with a phone. It also works because some of those reoccurring things that take place every 2 weeks or once a month, you can just put it in there one time and tell it to reoccur next month and it's just going to pop up every month. But whatever the system is that you use, time activate it. There are plenty of Mac-based and Windows-based electronic systems out there. I use a program called Things, and that seems to work well. I've used OmniFocus, another Mac program, but whether it's Outlook or whatever the case might be, find a system that works for you. Most of the systems out there are all about the same. They might have a little bit of a different interface. They might have a little bit of a different layout, but they all function generally the same way. But find something that works for you and plug those dates in. Probably the most encouraging thing that I'll do with this planner after I'm done putting it all onto paper is I'll take this planner and I'll put it into my system sometime around December 1st. I like to do it before we have our planner meeting. If I don't get to it by then, I always get it done by the first of the year. where I take everything that's in this planner and I put it into my system. Every date that's listed on my calendar is in my system so that it's going to pop up. And what that does is it just, when I get done that process of putting all those dates in there, it's pretty tedious. Just time activating this and time activating that and putting that date in and every little detail. But then I sit back and I think, man, we're ready to go. We're ready to go for the next year. We're ready for 2012, or whatever the case might be. And I know that I've done my best to plan and to prepare and then to time activate those items. Letter C under this, you must use your time activation system. Don't do all the work and then again just put it on your shelf. Don't do all the work and not use it, but time activate it and then put it into use.